not know. Well, what a great day to be in this place with my church family. And for all those of you who are visiting with us, I want to welcome you. I'm glad you're here. For those of you who are new as well, we are glad you're here. Aren't we glad they're here? Yeah. And I think I meet new people every week, it seems. Of course, you know, with my memory, it really is new people every week. Every day is a good day, yeah. So I want to start this morning by talking about the series that we're on. I hope that you have enjoyed this series. And I hope more than enjoying this series, I hope that this series has been used by God to help you strengthen the relationships in your life, by giving you some really practical tools in how to have stronger, healthier relationships with your kids, your parents, your friends, your coworkers, extended family, people in the church. I hope it's really helped in all that. I'm going to do a little review, if that's okay with you. On the first week, we talked about what is probably the most obvious element of relationships, which is love. And what did we learn about love? We said, don't remember? Love is never, I gave most of it away. Love is never free. Remember the hippie? Love is never free. Okay? I'm not the only one with a bad memory in here. Okay. Then we looked at forgiveness, and we said forgiveness requires, oh, you're on the right track, requires more than you think. Remember, forgiveness requires more than you think. And then we looked at honesty, and we said transparency tightens, I give you a hint, it's another T word. Transparency tightens trust. Thank you. Very good. And last week, hopefully we can remember this one, acceptance shown is relationship grown. See there, you remember that one. That's good. All right. So now we get into an element that might surprise you a little bit. It's something that is not often talked about that I have discovered in church circles, but that the Bible talks about a lot because it's an integral part of having healthy relationships. And this is a personal issue to me, and I'll tell you why. See, I had three boys, and God gives you, you can choose your spouse, you do not choose your children. And I mean that in a good way. God knows what he's doing. And he gave me, God knows what he's doing, God gave me an autistic son. And in getting to know this autistic son of mine, I've discovered that because of his autism, it's not the normal amount of he's a different person than I am. He sees the world differently than I do. And what's really important to him is not so important to me, and vice versa. And what is a huge priority to him is not much of a priority to me, and vice versa. And for the longest time, I tried to force him to become something that he is not. And I found the more that I forced him, the further away from me he got. And I found I was not honoring my son by doing that. So I'm discovering, hopefully not too late, to learn to honor my son. I honored my son by asking if it was okay to talk about honoring him this morning as well, and he gave me permission for that, so I appreciate that. Honor is something that is often thought of as a feeling, but honor is an action. It's like love. And I looked it up in the dictionary, and the dictionary says, honor is to hold in high esteem, to appreciate, to prize, to cherish, to put on a pedestal. And this is a difficult thing sometimes in church circles, to honor people. I can't tell you how many times I have people come up to me wanting to give me a compliment. And the first thing they say is, Now, I don't want you to get a swelled head. We are so committed as Christian people to humility, sometimes we're a little worried that if we honor someone, we compliment someone, we encourage someone, that they're going to somehow be maniacs. And I think, wait a second, you know, I never say this. I always just, you know, take it, it's okay. And then they say their nice thing. But I think, wait a second, you want to compliment me, but you just question my character. Said, I I'm a little worried about your character, but here's some things you did that were pretty good. You know? Don't couch something as, I don't want you to get a swelled head, okay? Just saying out there, that's not good. But honor, when we honor people, it draws people close to us. Don't you want to go where you're respected and cherished? What was it? Appreciated, prized? Nod your head if you're agreeing with me here. Don't you want to be with people who treat you like that? Of course you do. So what happens if they don't go out of their way to treat you like that? You begin to wonder, am I really cherished here? Am I really honored here? Do the people around you right now, today, even sitting next to you, feel disrespected because you haven't gone out of your way to honor them? And there's this disconnect in your relationship. Maybe it's between you and your kids, like I had with Carter. Maybe it's between you and a coworker. Maybe it's between you and someone else. But there's this disconnect because there's a question mark in your relationship. And the person that you may even be close to is asking, do you really respect me? Do you really honor me and cherish me? We are going to discover this morning that honor unshown is honor unknown. So how can we show honor? We said honor is not a feeling, it's something that you do. So how do we show it? What are some practical things? Well, this was actually fairly easy. All I had to do was look in the Bible to find out how God, in his relationship with us, says he is honored. And we can get some great principles from learning how God says he is honored, so how we can honor other people. So how do we honor, How do we honor people? First of all, God says giving thanks is a way that honors him. It says in Psalms, giving thanks is a sacrifice that truly honors me. It's a way of saying you are worthy of my appreciation. Now, if you had the privilege of growing up around grandparents, if you ever went to your grandma, say, and your grandma, as a little kid, handed you a cookie, the temptation for that kid is to just stuff that thing in their mouth, right? Right? But if you had a parent around, they will ask you a question. What do you say? That's right. What do you say? Why? Because it honors the person giving the gift, right? It makes the circle complete. Without it, something is missing. If you just take and you gobble it down, something is missing in that interaction. Would you agree? Same thing with God. We honor God by saying thank you. It occurred to me, long too late in my marriage, I've been married 25 years now, that my wife has cooked 99% of the meals in our home. Now, that's a bit of an exaggeration, because there's no way I cooked 1% of the meals in our home. If you consider takeout, it changes the numbers greatly, but anyway. And so I've learned, if I'm going to honor my wife, I have to say thank you. Thank you for cooking that meal. I do not do it consistently, and she can verify that right now. I don't do it consistently, but I'm trying. It doesn't saying thank you honor someone? It honors God. It honors our spouse. It honors our friends. When they do something for us, we appreciate it. We say thank you. Second way that we can honor people is through generosity. God says, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. We are saying, God, you are worthy of my resources. Now, if you're not a follower of Jesus this morning, this may seem a little weird, the idea of giving money away as a way to honor God. But for those of us who do follow Jesus this morning, this is a normal thing. We understand that our money is not our own. We understand that it's a loan from God. And to give back to Him is a normal part of honoring Him. Now, what does this mean for our human relationships? It means that we honor people by being generous with them, just money-wise. Wouldn't you rather be with people? And not in a selfish way, but isn't it kind of honoring when someone says, no, I'll pick up the check. It's okay. Or I'll pay for that little thing, or I'll do this. And being around generous people, it honors you. It honors me. Do you like being around tightwad people? Are those fun kind of people to be around? You know, the people who kind of slide the bill over to you when it comes? You like being with people? No, of course not. And it's not honoring. Third way, honoring people by service. Proverbs says, those who oppress the poor insult their maker, but helping the poor honors him. And this is saying, God, I can honor you with my time. It says, you are important. And when it comes to honoring God with our service, I've been in church circles for all of my life. And as a pastor for the last 23 years. And here's one thing I can tell you I noticed. There's a great big difference between people who are serving because they're doing their chores and people who are serving because they're honoring God. People who are doing the chores do the very minimum they have to do. Like, I signed up for this thing, I hate this, and I can't wait to get out of this. I'm just gonna, bare-knuckle my way through this. And then there are people who serve because they are honoring God. And they go far above and beyond what's required of them. And they do it with enthusiasm and passion because they're not just doing it for the people in front of them. They're doing it for the Lord. It makes a huge difference in why we do something. Service to God is a way to honor Him. And just in our human relationships, doesn't it honor people when you serve them? When you do something for them, when you give your time to someone. You know this, any one of you who have been married for more than a day understand the importance of serving your spouse, serving your kids, serving the people at work, serving your friends. It honors them and draws you closer together. Do you like hanging around with selfish people? Of course not. None of us do. Something, when there's this serving thing going on, it just draws people together. And finally, number four, boundaries. This is saying, God, you are worthy of my obedience. Now, in the context of sexual purity, it says in 1 Corinthians, you do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price. So you must honor God with your body. And if you look at this in a broad context, boundaries, the Bible is full of God's boundaries. Says things that He says, this is what I like, this is what I approve of, these are things I don't like and I don't approve of. And so we have, He's saying, in this particular spot, we honor God when we obey Him, when we respect His boundaries. Now, that means that we're not just, if we want to honor someone, that means we can't just do whatever we want. That doesn't honor God. And you know what? It doesn't honor people. If you're hanging around with people who believe that they can just do whatever they want, that's going to cause some problems in your relationship. Because in a healthy relationship, we respect boundaries, do we not? What do I mean by that? Here are some boundaries that we respect in healthy relationships. Space and privacy. Knocking on doors before entering. Not opening someone else's mail or their journal or their texts. Respecting each other's need for space and quiet. That is a part of good boundaries. That honors people. differences. Allowing differences in preferences for food, clothing, entertainment, hobbies, it's okay to have those differences, different passions. Opinions, very related. Allowing for difference of opinions without an immediate trial. So, some of us have to be right about everything. And when someone gives an opinion, we're just real happy to leap on them and say, that's the wrong opinion. Do you know anyone like that? Seeing a lot of heads going up and down. Are you sitting next to that person right now? Just, you don't have to nod your head. Now, this one, by the way, is one of the great mysteries in the Bible for me. Because I find God respects our opinions. It's a really strange thing. God honors us by respecting our opinions. He allows us to make choices. He doesn't leap down our throat. He doesn't force us to do anything. I find that rather amazing. And quite often, the question that people ask is, why doesn't God do something about blank? And the answer is often, goes back to this very thing. God respects our choices. He doesn't force us. And it makes sense, don't you think? If God wants a love relationship with us, force is not part of love. Force has to be given freely. So if God is forcing us, there's not freedom in there. Isn't that amazing that God honors us by respecting our opinions? We also have good boundaries around, you know, hearing. Just sitting and listening to people is a way to honor them. And some of us struggle with that too. Right? Yeah, of course we do. But it's a way to honor people. Giving people the benefit of the doubt, assuming the best about people is a way of honoring them. And instead of assuming, you know, they got bad motives or they're out to get you or something, assume the best of someone, that honors them. Consultation, when you go to someone and say, I really need help with this. Could you help me? I respect your opinion. That's a way to honor people. Imperfection, giving other people around us the freedom to fail and make mistakes and break things. It happens. Without leaping all over them, it's a way of honoring them. And finally, courtesy. You know, using polite language. Please, thank you, may I. Being on time is a way to respect people, is a way to honor people. I won't make much of a big deal about that this morning. Thank you. Yeah. So, in all these things, you have to show honor for people to feel honored, right? People will not know that you honor them unless you show them, which is why honor unshown is honor unknown. Let's say it together. Honor unshown is honor unknown. Now, let's talk about who in the Bible, this really surprised me. There's a list of people or groups in the Bible that God says, we as followers of Jesus should specifically honor. Did you know that? I was a little surprised at this list. There are 6 different categories of people that we are commanded to cherish, put on a pedestal. You want to know what they are? Here they come. Who should we honor? This one's probably the one you're thinking of the first, right? It's one of the big 10 commandments. Honor your father and mother. As far as people that we should give thanks to, be generous with, serve, respect their boundaries, parents are right up there. Number 2, servers. It says in 1 Corinthians 16, it says, I'm very glad that Stephanas, Fortunatus, and Achaicus have come here. They have been providing the help you weren't here to give me. They have been a wonderful encouragement to me as they have been to you. Now watch this. You must show your appreciation to all who serve so well. Paul is singling out in this letter people who serve. And I wonder, you know, as I made this list, I thought of all the people at Nanaimo Alliance Church who contribute to making this church so successful and reaching out to so many people. They serve. I wonder how many of them right now feel unappreciated. When's the last time that they got a thank you? You know, I wonder. I hope that they do feel appreciated. But we are commanded here to show appreciation to those who serve. And you can hear it from me. I know this is just general, but if you do serve here, thank you. I couldn't do what I'm doing right now if you didn't do what you were doing. Thank you for serving. So, father and mother, servers, sacrificers. I made that word up, I think, but that's okay. So, in context, Paul here is writing about Epaphroditus, and he says this. And you don't need to know who Epaphroditus is, by the way. So I am all the more anxious to send Epaphroditus back to you, for I know you will be glad to see him, and then I will not be so worried about you. Welcome him back with Christian love and with great joy, and give him, here it comes, the honor that people like him deserve. Well, what does he mean, people like him? What's so great about Epaphroditus? He tells us in the next verse. He says, for he risked his life for the work of Christ, and he was at the point of death while doing for me what you couldn't do from far away. Here's something that I don't think gets said very often. But churches, don't just run on people who serve and God working through people who serve. Churches run through people who sacrifice. And if it wasn't for them, probably nothing would run. These are the people who give up evenings and weekends and holidays to have kids' church, to serve at the front door, to do the sound, to run clothesline, to run all these ministries. It takes more than just serving. It takes sacrifice. Let me ask you this question. Who has sacrificed in your life to make you who you are? Who has gone above and beyond to help you be the person that's sitting in your chair right now? And I have to ask myself these questions too. And how have we honored that person or persons? If you're going to honor someone, you said, honor those who have gone above and beyond, who've risked, who are sacrificers. Father and mother, servers, sacrificers, leaders. It says in 1 Thessalonians, dear brothers and sisters, honor, there's that word, honor those who are leaders in the Lord's work. They work hard among you and give you spiritual guidance. Show them great respect and wholehearted love. Great respect, wholehearted love, because of their work. Now, I realize, as the pastor, to be talking about this is a little awkward. So let me shift away your attention from the pastor to the other spiritual leaders in this church, because there are many. We have other staff. We have ministry leaders. We have connect group leaders, all of whom are pouring into other people and encouraging them in their faith. And it says, we are to honor them because of their work. I think this is such a needed thing to appreciate leaders. The board, sorry, I almost forgot the board. The board, you know, they need to be appreciated as well. So honor our leaders. Next, so father and mother, servers, sacrificers, leaders, bulldozers. Now I'm really losing you, right? Let me explain what I mean. Found in James chapter 5. For examples of patience and suffering, dear brothers and sisters, look at the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. We give great honor to those who endure under suffering. We give great honor to those who endure under suffering. we can deeply respect and appreciate the people in this room who stayed true to their faith, even though they've gone through hard times. Maybe their kids have walked away from the faith. Maybe they're dealing with sickness. Maybe they've lost a spouse. Lost a child. On and on, the tragedies go. And while some people say, "That's it, God, I've had it with you. You didn't give me the life that I think I deserve." They stayed true to the faith. They are still here. He's saying, honor those who endure under suffering. They're a special category of people. And you can probably think, if you've been in this church for some time, you can think of the people in this room who've gone through some horrible tragedies. And they're still here. How do we honor them? We're told to honor them. We give great honor to those who endure under suffering. Now, the next category really surprised me, because it's right out of left field. I'm not too sure you're ready for it, but here it comes. So we've got fathers and mothers, servers, sacrificers, leaders, bulldozers. Oh, bulldozers, by the way, because I think of bulldozers that just run through a bunch of trees. They have all these obstacles, and they just keep on going. That's what I mean by bulldozers. All of these, and wives. Did you know what the Bible has to say? Husbands, about wives, says this. In the same way, you husbands, must give honor to your wives. Treat your wife with understanding as you live together. So, of all the people, the Bible says deserve thank you, deserves our generosity, our service, and respecting boundaries, husbands. It says, do this for your wives. Now there's a couple of very interesting things about this verse. And I don't know if you caught it, but in looking at this a little deeper, you'll notice the details. It says, in the same way, you husbands must give honor. You notice it does not say you must feel honor. Right? Because felt honor is useless. It's useless. If you want to honor your wife, it must be shown, it must be given honor to your wife. Give honor to your wife. And notice what else it says. In the same way you husbands should give honor, might give honor. What does it say? What's the word? Must. That's a pretty strong word, don't you think? Do you think there's many options about this? No. God's pretty clear. Husbands, you got a job. I have a job. We must give honor to our wives. Wow. Okay. So put on a pedestal. Highly prized, appreciated, cherished. Remember those words? That's what honor means. Now, in a few moments, you're going to have the opportunity to show honor to people. And we're going to hand out cards. In fact, we could probably start doing that any time here, Ron. Hand out. There's going to be cards and pencils. And I want you to take at least one card, take a pencil. You're going to have the opportunity to participate in this. It's not too often that at the end of the sermon you actually get to apply it right away, but today's the day. Aren't you lucky? Because in the end, honor unshown is honor unknown. We just went through a whole bunch of categories of people that the Bible says we are to honor. And in a few moments you'll get an opportunity to do that. But there's a couple of principles first. Honor principles that I want to address before we continue on. Two honor principles. Number one, honor is earned, not demanded. It says, Jesus also taught, "Beware of these teachers of religious law, For they like to parade around in flowing robes and receive respectful greetings as they walk in the marketplaces. And how they love, the, here it comes, the seats of honor in the synagogues and at the head tables of banquets. Yet they shamefully cheat widows out of their property, and they pretend to be pious and making long prayers in public. Because of this, they will be more severely punished. There are those who demand honor. They go around seeking honor. Appreciate me. Cherish me. Put me on a pedestal. And it has the opposite effect, does it not? Don't you want to not honor people like that? It's just a natural reaction. So the more you seek after honor, the less it's going to come your way. Honor is earned, not demanded. Second thing is this. Honor has abundance. What do I mean? In 1 Corinthians 12, it says, if one part of the church suffers, all the parts of the church suffers with it. And if one part of the church is honored, all the parts of the church are glad. Now, this isn't always the way this works. Right? Because there's something in our mentality that says honor has a limit. That there's a limited amount of honor to go around. And if I give you honor, or if someone gives you honor, that means there's going to be less for me. So there's a scarcity of honor going on. We don't want to give this one person honor because that'll mean less for me. But here's Scripture saying if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. Why? Because the Holy Spirit has given us the wisdom to know that honor is virtually limitless. Honor is virtually limitless. Think of all the honor that you can give people in your life. Is there a limit to that? Well, you got to be awake. That helps. But if you're awake, it's virtually limitless. Think of all the people that you can cherish and put on a pedestal and say thank you to. There's so many of them. There is no scarcity when it comes to honor. We don't have to be stingy. And honoring people draws them closer to us. And I think that's the point of this morning's message, is if we want people to be drawn closer to us, we need to be active in showing them honor in all the ways that I've talked about. And you may need to re-listen to this on the internet to get all those ways again. It's often been said, do you want really good friends? What's the answer to that? Sorry, what? Be a good friend. That's right. If you want good friends, be a good friend. Being a good friend means you honor the people around you. You go out of your way to say thank you. Be generous. Serve them. Now, right now, I want to reiterate, honor unshown is honor unknown. And we want to keep that in the back of our mind as we're about to do what we're going to do. And I'm going to give you the opportunity to write to fill out one of these two statements. Something about someone's character in this room. Maybe they've persevered in their faith. And you want to say, I greatly respect you because. And before you start writing, I want you to know a couple things. Be specific. Not, I greatly respect you because you're a great lady. That's nice. It's a little vague. Okay? Be specific. Second thing about this is I am out of the picture. I don't want to be in a position where it looks like I'm trying to feed for compliments here. So you will honor me by not honoring me. Okay? All right. So someone else, either in this room or someone else beyond this room, but fill out one of those two statements. And you can write it down. You can text it. You can email it from your seat if you've got one of those fancy phones. And you can take that. I'll tell you what to do with those cards in the end, but you'll have some options as to what to do with those cards in the end. But go ahead. One of our philosophies of ministry as a church is to lead by example. So I'm going to lead by example, because there's some people that I want to honor this morning. I want to thank all of you who have encouraged me verbally and in letter over the last year. Your words have meant more than you know. I want to thank Jennifer Crosby and Mark Wieb. They're our staff members, by the way, for their acceptance of my weaknesses and how they sharpen my strengths. I want to thank all of you who financially give generously to this mission. Your generosity literally feeds my family and allows me to do what I do full time. I greatly respect our ministry leaders and Connect leaders, because instead of waiting for someone else, they stepped up and said, "Here I am, send me." I greatly respect our seniors who have sacrificed for this church over decades. Without you, none of us would be here right now. And finally, I greatly respect my fellow pastors in this room, and there's a lot of them, by the way, who are showing me by their attitude and actions that it is possible to not lose hope and become cynical, but instead to finish well with even greater faith. Now, I'm going to give you a few moments to fill out your card, your email, your text, whatever it may be. But I want you to listen to the Spirit. Who does the Spirit want you to honor right now? There's no pressure. If you don't want to participate, that's fine. I just want to give those of you who want to apply this right now the opportunity to do so. So I'm going to give you a few minutes to do that. Hope that this little card writing exercise was a delight. Now, I want to offer one little snippet about that. Some of you in this room might have struggled with that. You couldn't think of someone, didn't know what to say, and that's okay. But I want you to consider maybe you're a little out of practice. And it is a practice. It's a habit that we get into, honoring people. It's just something that we have to work on. And the Bible says we can actually take delight in it. We can wake up in the morning and think, who can I honor today? Who can I appreciate today? Who can I put on a pedestal today? Who can I be generous with today? Who can I serve today? Whose boundaries can I respect today? Remember, honoring is to highly esteem someone, to appreciate them, prize them, cherish them. And we are to honor our father and mother, servers, sacrificers, leaders, bulldozers, and for husbands, we are to honor our wives. If we want to have healthy relationships, church, honoring will be a part of that, be a big part of that. So give thanks to one another. Be generous with one another, serve one another, and respect each other's boundaries. Now you have in your hand, some of you, have a little bit of honor. And you have the opportunity to do something with that. Now ideally, if it's someone in here after the service, I'm going to ask that you go hand it right to them. Let them see who it is that's showing them honor. If that's a little uncomfortable for you, some of you may not know there are actually boxes out here, folders out here with people's names on them. And you can just drop that in their box and they'll get it later. If you don't know what their name is, do we have that comment box out there? Is it out? Okay, can you go run and get that, Ron, and just put that out there? So we have a comment box. If you don't really, know the person's last name, you just know their first name, you can just drop in there. We'll figure it out. We'll get it to them. Some of you maybe have emailed yours or texted yours. Some of you maybe have wanted to honor someone outside of this room. I'd encourage you to mail it. You know, that still works. You can do it. But as a pastor, I want my church to delight in honoring each other. That this would just be a normal part of who we are at NAC. That we just take the opportunities when we can to show honor to the people in our lives the Bible says we need to honor. Let's pray in closing. Lord, it is our privilege to follow you. It is our privilege to have the joy of showing honor to people, to respect people, to put them on a pedestal. And so I ask, Lord, that this wouldn't just be a one-off exercise for us, that this would become a habit with us as a church, with our spouse, our kids, our friends, our co-workers, our neighbors. Show us how to honor them. And to not just feel it, but to show it. And ultimately, Lord, we want to honor you. We want to respect your boundaries. We want to give you thanks. We want to serve you and be generous to you. Because you have given us life. For some of us in this room, you have given us eternal life. For those who don't know you yet in this room, Lord, I ask that you touch their heart right now and let them know how much you want a relationship with them. We love you, Lord. We worship you. We honor you as a church. In the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, amen. If you would like prayer for anything today, come on up. There'll be some people up here to pray with you. Other than that, go and distribute the honor that you have in your hand. Have a great week.